Episode 4 with Karen Tether and her transformational shamanic journey in Peru.
Welcome to the Lightworker Podcast. I am your host, Natalie Ubel Grant. I am a lightworker, a meditation facilitator, Reiki master, and a health and wellness enthusiast who thrives on helping people. Connection is my superpower, and I just love bringing people to a space where transformation can occur. Are you looking for information on being a lightworker? Are you a lightworker and just love collecting knowledge from other lightworkers? Then this is exactly where you need to be right now. Spirit has brought you here for a reason, and my hope is that this podcast will offer some new information and insights that will help you on your journey. I am here to help you connect and grow on your true path as a lightworker.
Sitting here amongst the beautiful rainforest trees at the Budrum Falls Walk today, I'm going to take this opportunity to introduce you to Karen Tether, who is a lightworker just like us, and he's doing some beautiful things and offering some wonderful opportunities for people. And I really wanted to share with you, she's doing a trip to Peru later this year, and she's calling this trip the Spirit of Peru. And it's a transformational shamanic journey in the mystical land of Peru. And this trip just sounds amazing. Have any of you listeners thought about going to Peru? Sort of, is it on your bucket list? Is it something that you'd really like to do? Because I tell you what, it's definitely on mine. And when I heard about Karen's trip, it sounds like just the sort of trip that I would like to do. Really spiritually orientated, lots of ceremony with shamans, and opportunity to take your time in Machu Picchu and do the walk to get there, the 3-day camping trek. So when I heard Karen's description of this tour, I just thought, wow, I really want to share this with you, because listening to her story and how it transformed her life was inspiring, and I thought that bringing that to you guys would be most definitely insightful. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you, Karen, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Nat. I'm so happy to be here today and be able to share this wonderful journey of transformation with you. The Spirit of Peru trip is happening in September 2017, this year. It's been a journey to put this whole trip together, and I'm really, really excited to be able to offer this to people. For me, when I went to Peru 2 years ago, it really changed my life. And so the inspiration for putting together this trip happened actually whilst I was in Peru.
Amazing. So when you were in Peru, that's when you've had sort of a life transformation. What did that look like?
Well, I was in Peru for around about, well, just over a month, the first time that I went. And during that trip, it was very much a physical and emotional, a spiritual, everything rolled into one, hey. It was like my life sort of unfolding for me whilst I was in Peru. So I had the physical aspect of the Inca Trail, and then I went to a retreat after the Inca Trail in the mountains with the shamans, which was a very spiritual experience where I spent a lot of time with the shamans, learning all about their ways, their traditions, participating in ceremonies. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience, and it really transformed my life for the better.
Amazing. So with the physical aspect of the Inca Trail, what's that like?
It's an amazing, amazing journey, one that you definitely, during this lifetime, you have to do it, is all I can say. I actually wasn't going to do the Inca Trail, but everyone else in the group that I was going with was doing it, so I decided, yep, I was made a commitment to do it. So it's a 3.5 day trek through the mountains. The scenery is just totally out of this world. So the first day you're traveling and alongside a beautiful river. It's very very tranquil and not very arduous the first day, and then the second day it gets a little bit harder. You're walking uphill pretty much all day, so I'd say the second day is probably the hardest. And then the third day you're kind of right up on top of the mountains and you're trekking right around the edge of the cliffside almost. So like I say, the scenery is just absolutely unbelievable, and you have a team of porters that carry your gear for you. It's not like you're carrying a great big heavy rucksack up the mountain. You just have a small day pack, and that's really all you need to be worried about. So the porters go ahead of you and set up camp. They're totally unbelievable. They run up the face of the mountain, which is like vertical.
While you're struggling with your little backpack.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, like I say to anybody, I believe that, you know, if you're of reasonable fitness, you'd easily be able to complete the Inca Trail. It's 43 Ks, so 3.5 days camping. But the food on the Inca Trail was the thing that blew me away the most, because it was like eating in a 5-star restaurant, and you just think they're on the side of a mountain, they've literally got kind of a table and a few knives, and they produce these amazing meals, and you certainly need it, you know, for the energy.
So what are the meals that they prepare for you?
Oh, it's, well, a lot of it's Peruvian food, so it's, but it's like a 3-course.
Like traditional?
Yes, traditional. So, you know, but it's a 3-course meal, you know. You might have like some type of soup, you know, because it's quite cold. Well, the time of year that we'll be going, you definitely need thermals, you know, warm clothing. So, yeah, traditional Peruvian food, chicken. They provide also, yeah, a lot of chicken and potato, you know, kind of the type of food that you need, you know, for sustaining your energy.
Yeah.
But always a beautiful dessert as well. Throughout the day, you know, you get snacks as well for your backpack. Yeah, you're totally and utterly looked after on the trail. I probably started training 6 months out from the trip.
And what did that training entail for you?
Well, I like going up Mount Coolum, so, you know, it was mostly up Mount Coolum. And if I didn't go up Mount Coolum, I had really long walks.
Nice.
Probably Mount Coolum at least 2 or 3 times a week and build up my stamina. And I teach Pilates anyway, so, the physical strength is there anyway.
Yep. So for other people, you would recommend how many times a week really to train on the lead up?
Definitely, you know, 3 times a week minimum, because otherwise you're just going to really struggle on the Inca Trail and it won't be as enjoyable. I was probably in camp probably about 6 hours, but then, you know, depending on your fitness level, might take you 8 hours. Some people were even longer than that and coming in at dusk sort of thing, you know, because you start out early in the morning.
So it doesn't, so it's not like you have to keep up with the pack. You can walk at your own pace, and there's a set amount of time that you walk for the day, each day, until you get there.
So they say sort of 8 hours a day, roughly, but there's definitely no pressure to keep up with the pack. The leaders are really kind of vigilant to kind of make sure that the people who are less fit are really looked after as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I haven't said anything about altitude sickness, which is like it can be a big problem for some people. Most of the people in our group only suffered mildly from altitude sickness.
So what does an altitude sickness symptom look like?
So altitude sickness, you can, like I say, can have mild or severe. So mild is just, you know, you get a little bit of a thick headache, you might have an upset tummy, and it usually settles after a day or so while you adjust to the altitude. If you get a really severe reaction, you can even feel very, very nauseous and vomit as well. But there is medication that you can take with you on the journey. Also, the traditional remedy for it is chewing coca leaves. So you always see the porters carrying coca leaves also give extra energy as well. So that's
Did you try it?
Yes.
And did you find that it worked?
Yeah, I think it really does work. They also make a tea with the coca leaves as well. I found the tea a bit easier than chewing the coca leaves. It was kind of like chewing a piece of paper. Yeah, I think, like, as I understand it, altitude affects any age group at any time.
Well, altitude sickness is just a lack of oxygen, isn't it, throughout the body? And we just don't, we aren't used to it being where we live. We're in the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. So anything that's too far above sea level is going to challenge us, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's why I did my training mostly, you know, like sometimes I went out to Mount Gungun as well. So I tried to do stuff where I was walking uphill and trying to mimic the Inca Trail, the cobbled stone pathway. But I think, with the altitude sickness, there were a couple of people that had severe reactions to the altitude sickness, but they overcame it and they completed the Inca Trail. So, you know.
Yeah, so it might just be a little delay or... But you get there eventually.
Yeah.
All right.
And water. Water is the big key as well, which is provided constantly for you. So I am 100% so glad that I did the Inca Trail and I didn't just take the train to Machu Picchu, because coming around the corner the last day and seeing Machu Picchu coming out of the mist was a very, very emotional moment for me. You know, like, I just was like, oh, I've waited all my life to see this and here it is. I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, yeah, very emotional moment. And I don't think it would have been quite the same if I caught the train and just walked up there, you know. And also, you know, the challenge of completing 43Ks, you know.
Well, the physical challenge, that in itself, you've set a goal and then you've completed it. Mm. And then the view at the end was worth the trip.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's some other treks as well. The Lares Trek is actually really beautiful as well. The Inca Trail is very overcrowded. They only let 200 people a day on the Inca Trail. I'd say it's not overcrowded, that's the wrong word, but you have to book in advance. It must be 6 months in advance, and the places fill really fast. So, like I say, if you can't for any reason get on the Inca Trail, the Lares Trek is the one to go for, because you go through lots of local towns, you meet the local people, there's a beautiful lake along the way, and it's just as beautiful as the Inca Trail, but not so touristy.
Right. So will you look at maybe doing one of those Spirits of Peru tours in the future with the Lares Trail?
Yes, most definitely. Okay. You know, because at the end of the day, sometimes people jump in at the last minute as well, and so for those people, there's not going to be that option, you know. So, and, yeah, it's nice for the group to travel together as well, I think.
Yep. So when you went to Peru the first time, you said that it was quite a spiritual experience and that it changed your life. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? Where have you come from? Mm. And tell us about how Peru changed your life.
Okay. Reason why I decided to go to Peru, I'd been through a very, very difficult and traumatic divorce. I just felt really numb in my life and I didn't have any direction. I decided to go to Peru because I'd always wanted to go to Machu Picchu. And really, I had absolutely no idea it was going to change my life as much as it has. So I set myself the goal of a month away. The first part of my journey was with another group, which was fine, but really the icing on the cake was Machu Picchu and doing the retreat. So when I went to the retreat, I had a burning desire to work with some of the shamans and experience what they had to offer.
Is that because you'd had some background knowledge on shamans, or just that you had a feeling that you needed to work with them?
I had been doing a lot of healing work prior to Peru, probably about for about at least 5 years anyway. I had been involved in meditation and healing work, and I didn't know that much about shamanic healing at the time, and I was really interested in it, so I just thought that was really something on the top of my list to experience that. So when I was at the top of Machu Picchu, I sat at the top doing a little meditation, and I asked for Inca knowledge to be passed on to me. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, and certainly nothing happened while I was at Machu Picchu. But when I got to the retreat, I met with this one particular shaman, and immediately we had like a really strong connection, even though I don't speak the language or anything like that. But it just felt really like there was a connection there straight away. So we went through ceremony, and I took the plant medicine whilst I was in ceremony. When I'm doing healing, my hands really shake, and I get very hot, and you know, I can feel the energy coming through my hands when I've got my hands on people. So during the ceremony, the shaman came over to me, and I could see him kind of in this haze, I suppose is the word, and I could see his hand, placing his hand on top of mine, and my hand was kind of raising up to his and shaking like it does when I'm doing healings on people. I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but what actually happened was I was taken to this golden temple. Whilst I was in this golden temple, I could see all of these symbols which looked a little bit like, you know, the symbols that you see, you know, related to Inca times, little scrolls and symbols, and they were being downloaded via the shaman into my hand. It was a totally surreal experience, and I like was so excited and elated, but didn't really know what was going on, right? So this information was going into my hand. It probably took, I don't know, probably I'd say about 20 minutes, half an hour of these symbols being downloaded into my DNA, really. And at the end of the half an hour, when the shaman moved away, it was a little bit like you see in some of those movies where I just kind of landed on the floor and came back to Earth again. And I was like, whoa, what was that all about, you know? Also during the ceremony, I had aha moments. A lot of realizations, mostly around how my lack of boundaries with people, how much I give to other people and how much I don't give back to myself, and how much that was draining my energy, and why I was in the position that I was in life, you know, because I'd allowed that to happen. I'd known that on an intellectual level, but I actually hadn't felt it through my emotional, physical, spiritual, my whole being knew it. My whole being.
So it was brought to your awareness.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. So I had a vision of a whole bunch of people, and they almost looked grey. They had like a grey aura around them, and I was somehow above them, standing on this kind of golden platform. The people with the grey aura were trying to reach for me and pull me back down. And it was an amazing visual message for me to really get how much. People can drain my energy, and if I didn't do something about it, I was going to be pulled back down again, you know.
Yeah, so that's a pretty full-on experience. Yeah. So no wonder you came back from Peru a completely different person, because you had insight into yourself that you didn't have before. Mm. So What I'd want to know too is that ceremony, is that included in this Spirit of Peru tour?
Well, what I did was I had it as an option, because it's not everybody's thing. Yep. Not everybody wants to have that intensity of experience. We'll definitely, in the trip, we'll definitely be doing ceremonies and working with shamans, but it's going to be entirely up to the person whether they want to participate in a plant medicine ceremony.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good thing. But there is the option there for people that
definitely
want to.
After the ceremony was also really great, because you have a translator and the shaman actually explains what your visions are too.
Amazing.
So you have a lot of clarity around it as well when you leave. And I felt like my slate had been wiped clean and I was starting a new life. I really did.
That's an amazing place to be. Mm. We'll just expand a little bit, if you don't mind. What does a plant medicine ceremony look like? Can you give us a really quick run over?
So, first of all, you have a purification ceremony, which is done with flowers and lots of chanting, lots of shamanic kind of chanting, blessing to Mother Earth, Father Sky. So they basically are purifying your whole body before the ceremony. You drink volcanic water, vast amounts of it, to try to clean out your system, so that you're pure when you go into the ceremony. So it's very much a spiritual experience. And then they have like a little hut or a buray, kind of similar to where we're sitting right now.
So just to give you some context, we're sitting at the Budrum Falls walk at the boardwalk end near Harry's hut, and we're sitting under this lovely gazebo where there's a beautiful breeze and the sound of the cicadas and frogs in the background. It's a great place to do a recording.
Mm.
So you're in a hut a bit like this that we're sitting under.
But enclosed, obviously, not...
With walls.
Yes. Yeah. So the shaman kind of sits inside the hut, and he comes around and blesses everybody. Then you drink. Sorry, before the ceremony starts as well, they ask you a whole bunch of questions, what you've been through in life, what your mental health is like, what your physical health is like, all that type of questionnaire before the ceremony. Shaman comes around and gives you the plant medicine as a drink.
Yep.
So, you know, how much you have is depending on what they think is going to be suitable for you.
Okay, based on that question.
Yes, based on that the question.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so you drink the medicine, and then it's a four-hour journey that it takes you on. Mm-hmm. The shaman chants songs or sings songs throughout the ceremony. The songs are called the Ikaros. It's a very important part of the ceremony, and you know, you really get hooked in to the songs as well. I think it helps you to stay grounded, actually. So yeah, you have this long journey of 4 hours where it starts off in stages, so then you go up to the next level, and
this is where you experience that
when I had the intensity with the golden temple.
Okay.
And then
Coming out of that, because you described that earlier, so coming out of that, what's that feel like? You just slap yourself back down to earth?
No, it was much more gentle than that. Like, I sort of felt like I was, well, the vision that I had towards the end was I was actually on top of the rainbow, on top of the world, and I could see the whole world, and I could see all these other lights out there. Then I realised were actually all the other light workers. So that was like
amazing.
The end of it. That was towards the end of it. So that was the coming down out of it. But I had to laugh because right at the end of the ceremony, you know, everyone sits up and, you know, and the shaman comes around and he goes, muy fuerte, chica. Like that, which means really strong.
So he doesn't often have light workers cross his path.
No, I don't think so, no. I think, there was a lot of different ages. I don't know, people were there for different reasons, you know, businessmen wanting to get some clarity in their life. There's a very varied age range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Another really kind of synchronistic thing happened to me when I was leaving the retreat. I was catching the bus back to Cusco, and the driver, there was only me and him in the bus and a whole bunch of mattresses because they'd been doing like a charity day for some children in need. So they'd had a sleepover, so the van was back at full of these mattresses in the back. Anyway, so there was just me and him in this van, and he started chatting to me about the retreat and what had happened and blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, I'd really like to bring a group back to Peru, but I don't want to do anything too traditional. I'd like to sort of...
You want to stay away from the touristy stuff and do something a bit more...
Off the beaten track. Yeah. And he went, oh, he said, then we must be meant to meet. And he hands me his card, and his card said, travel and healing. And I was like, no way. I couldn't believe it. Hey. So it's just... Yeah, we communicated. We put together the trip over about a year and a half. It's taken us really to get it right. Yeah, so it was a lot of Skyping backwards and forwards, just making sure that the trip was authentically what I envisaged. So on this journey that we're going to take to Peru, we'll be going to the Temple of the Moon, which is an awesome place, and it's not touristy at all. So it's...
And are we able to... Have you got a photo of that? Are we able to put one in the show notes?
Yeah. So it's still in its original state. So you actually go inside this cave, and it has a hole in the roof of the cave where the sun shines down on the summer solstice onto the ceremonial stone where they used to do the sacrificial ceremonies. You know, it's got seats and everything in it, and I was just totally fascinated with it. In Peru, the snake, the puma and the condor are very revered. Mm-hmm. They're actually carved into the stone of the entrance of this cave as well. I felt very privileged to see that the last time that I was there, you know, because nobody in our group was really interested in it, but the guide wanted to show me this particular temple, you know, because he knew that I was into the spiritual aspect of, you know, the Inca ceremonies and everything. So he took me all around this area and took me to the river where the shamans still bathe before they do ceremony. You know, there was still all the Inca trails up into the mountain, you know, still in place with grass kind of grown over them. But there's a couple of temples like that. There's the Temple of the Monkeys as well. And we're going to go up into the mountains and see some traditional weaving as well, you know, in the Sacred Valley. There's also an opportunity to do horse riding in the Sacred Valley, which I thought would be really unique.
Be amazing.
Yeah. So we actually, the horse riding, we go out to the salt mines. There's another place called Marae, which is a series of concentric terraces that spiral into the centre. Looks a little bit like a Roman amphitheatre.
Wow.
They don't really know
why
that was built, but they think it was like a scientific experiment that the Incas used to do with agriculture.
Right.
Yeah. So right throughout the trip, and certainly on the Inca Trail and the Laris Track, you're going to see a huge amount of Inca ruins. We're going to have guides with us that are really knowledgeable and explain the history behind each ruin that we come across.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing ceremony where it's appropriate as well.
Yeah. And what about accommodation? What does that look like?
So accommodation is in three and a half star, roughly around that. Nothing really, really fancy, but definitely comfortable. There's some places that we stay will be more like four star, you know, particularly after the Inca Trail, somewhere nice. So mostly in, what do you call them, like a hacienda style. They're really beautiful, actually. Really comfortable, clean.
Comfortable and clean is probably top priority, I would say.
Yes. Comfortable and clean, and really great food, huge breakfast It's camping on the Inca Trail for 3.5 days. And there's also, we go to Lake Titicaca and we have a homestay with the locals.
Really?
Yep.
And what does that look like?
So that was one of the most amazing experiences as well, because I think from that I just took so much gratitude about the way that we live here and how much we take for granted. Because, yeah, you get to spend a day and a night with the locals. They cook a meal literally on like a stone stovetop. You do some work with the families as well. So it could be herding animals, it could be shelling beans, you know, whatever they decide it is for you. And then we all have a meal together on the island. So this is at Lake Titicaca, and of course at Lake Titicaca is the highest lake in the world, and we get to see the floating islands of Euros as well, so the islands that are made out of reeds.
Okay.
So we actually land on one of the islands, they explain all about it.
So there's an island that's made out of reeds. This is a man-made island?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so if you've ever seen any pictures of Lake Titicaca, you'll see like these canoe-shaped boats. We can put a picture up.
Yeah, let's put a picture up in the show notes.
So the canoe boats are made out of these reeds as well. But basically they show you how they make, so the roots of the reeds go underneath the water.
Okay.
And they just keep kind of topping them up.
Right.
Basically.
So it's a growing island of reeds,
yeah.
Sort of.
And then they move, when it's past its use by date, they move on to another one.
Right.
It's really bizarre to see. Yeah, it's just a really ancient tradition, I guess.
A really good way to see how the locals really live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And you get to go for a boat ride on one of the reed boats as well.
Right.
So, and you can buy souvenirs and stuff on the island as well, which,
yeah,
it's really great.
So would it be a good idea to bring gifts for the families that you're staying with, or?
Yeah. Definitely. We did take gifts, yeah.
So you, and but what, you what sort just, of thing would you take?
Well, you don't, they're not materialistic at all.
No,
so
yeah.
You take gifts of food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's totally so different way of living.
So before we would go, when we're on this tour, we would stock up before we went with some gifts to give them. Yeah,
we'd just go to a local market, pick up some, you know, just simple things like flour and sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. So you need to give us the dates, please.
Okay, yep. The 1st to the 15th of September. Yeah, so it's roughly 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we fly out on the last day, the 15th day.
Yep.
So.
And how much does it cost to do?
So it's $3,400 US.
Yep.
Which, do a currency conversion, it's 444. So.
Lovely. We love the numbers. All right. So, and this is just for the tour. They would have to get their own airfares, yeah?
Yeah. And if you book soon, you'll still get your flights at a reasonable price. But of course, as you know, the longer that you leave it, the more expensive the flights will be. But my flights and for two other people, and they were $1,290. So, amazing price.
Really good price.
Amazing price.
All right. And the getting there, how many stopovers? Just to give them a quick rundown on, so you fly out of
So you fly out of Brisbane. It's usually the route is Brisbane-Auckland, Auckland-Santiago, and then you change planes again at Santiago-Lima. So the internal flights that we take on this tour are included in the trip price.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. So once you're actually in Lima, the prices are done.
Yeah. So that's your food. It's not every single meal. We've left some room for people to go out for dinner by themselves if they want. But a lot of the meals, certainly all the meals on the Inca Trail are included, and there are a lot of meals included, like breakfast and some dinners are included. All the entry fees to Machu Picchu, to all the places that we're going to go to, everything's included.
Great. Excellent. Well, one last thing I'd like to ask you, Karen, before we wrap up, is something that I ask everybody that comes on the show. Which I'm interested to see whether you've already answered the question, but have you had some sort of weird or spiritual encounter or a ghost encounter with spirit in your life, and what did it look like?
Yeah, I've sort of had many different experiences with spirit.
What was the earliest one that you can remember?
The earliest one that I can remember is leaving another violent relationship, leaving a relationship which I urgently needed to get out of. I can remember looking at an ad in the paper. It just had a phone number. I rang this woman, got off the phone, didn't have the address, drove to the place.
Wow. Wow, you were meant to be there.
Yeah, so lots of things like that. So, yeah, heaps of stuff like that. And, of course, my experience in Peru is the most recent thing that was...
So lots of synchronicities and that kind of proof that you need.
Yeah, and it just becomes more and more apparent as time goes on, you know.
You're not as surprised anymore as you probably were the first time that it happened.
No, I really trust it. I really trust it. And, you know, while I was in Peru, I got told as well that I'd been chosen for this type of work. So when I returned to Australia, I started to teach the Muniki rites, which is a South American initiation process, a 9-step process to healing the wounds of your past, the wounds of your ancestors, and a fast track path to enlightenment. So that was another
right. So do you still do that? When do you do that?
Yep. So that's private bookings. It's a one-on-one.
Yep. Lovely. We'll have process. The how to connect with Karen in the show notes. So
yeah. So that's all on my Spirit of Peru website. Actually, there's a link to the Muniki.
Great.
Yeah.
So we'll share all those links.
Yeah.
So you do one-on-one sessions, and do you do any group sessions?
Yep, sure. I do. I run a meditation group on a Tuesday morning, and an evening meditation group twice a month.
And is that in Budrum?
Yes. Yeah.
So you'll just have to get in contact with Karen to get that address.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so,
thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really good. I seriously need to get myself to that trip. I really do. Yeah. I've really enjoyed everything that you've spoken about today. If you could just give me a 1-minute summary of what this Spirit of Peru tour is all about for you and what people can expect, that would be a really good way to take it out.
Okay, so Spirit of Peru, this journey that we're going to take together, it's a very much a self-transformational tour for the soul. It's going to open you in ways that you really wouldn't have expected. It's very much physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental journey. You know, so you're really challenging every aspect of your being.
By being there. Fantastic. Yeah. I hope you have the best tour. And I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Head over to lightofwellness.com. That is www.lightofwellness.com now and sign up for my newsletter by joining the Light Tribe. I will keep you up to date with the latest info on upcoming episodes, workshops, meditation groups, and Reiki courses. I would also love if you have a chance to rate us on iTunes. Ratings means we are able to reach more people. Thank you again so much for joining me today. Have a great week. The content found within these podcasts are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Nothing on this website is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any physical or medical conditions. If you have any physical or medical conditions, you should seek the advice of your medical professional immediately.